And take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. We are slowed down just a little bit in our study. Of course, we've been slowed down. We're not really in a hurry. We have till Jesus comes, and when he comes, we'll just let him finish it in heaven, and we'll have all eternity. That'll be exciting, won't it? And so I'm excited about this little, where we've stopped, because, you know, I... We're talking about weep not, and it could have been a message, but instead it's just kind of a little study that I did and looked up scriptures of weeping, and just praising the Lord that one of these days there will be no more weeping. And again, weep not is typically when we talk about weeping, it's tears of sorrow. Now, I recognize there are tears of joy, but the Bible does say that in heaven God will wipe away our tears, and so we have the understanding. Certainly, we know there's going to be lots and lots of joy in heaven, but we know there will be no more sorrowful times. And weep not is such an exciting thing. It's been one of those weeks where there's been a lot of weeping, and a lot of weeping on my part, and just you know, so many things that break your heart, and our hearts do become broken because of sin, and there's a lot of sin. You know, and we keep preaching and preaching and preaching, and you know, as parents, as grandparents, we talk about that. You know, hey, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. There is absolutely nothing good that comes out of sin. And so then there's sorrow, and then there's pain, and then there's hurt. And this morning I have so many friends that I know it's going to be a tough day. And there's folks here that are going through some pretty tough times, and some folks that I weep over. And, you know, one of these days, we get to heaven, I'm going to know that the mansion up the road, I'm kind of thinking I'm going to have a square mile in my mansion turf. I don't need much more than that, but a square mile. And I guess my wife's going to have her own mansion, so I guess she'll be the one up the road. But anyway, I'm thinking I'll never have to wonder, Brother Hawkins, if they're weeping. I'll never have to look across the street, which again is going to be a mile wide. I'll never have to look across the street at my neighbor there and wonder, I wonder if they're going through a tough time. You know, as a pastor, you do that. As a parent, you do that, don't you? As a grandparent, don't we do that? Don't we kind of look at somebody, we see a kind of a look in their eyes like something's wrong here? As a pastor, you know, I find myself often, somebody will respond maybe the wrong way, and there's been a lot of that. But I'll think, I wonder what they're going through. Right. I wonder what they're going through. I wonder why they would be so upset. I wonder what's going on. You know, one of these days, there will be no weeping. There will be no sorrow. There will be no pain. There will be no hurt. There will be no wondering why, you know? Never again. And streets of gold, gates of pearl, all that, that's all great and wonderful. And I don't try to minimize that in any way, but weep not. Weep not. Father, bless our time now. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. I pray this would be a help to everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Our memory verse for Revelation 5, again, Revelation 5, the adoration of the Lamb, or the chapters 4 and 5, the ability of the Lamb to open the book, which is section 3, and that covers Revelation chapters 4 and 5. And by the way, that is why the weeping ceased here, was because he is able. That's why weeping will cease in our lives, because he is able. Able. Amen. That's why, honestly, whatever you're going through today, whatever trial, it could be financial, it could be health, it could be whatever, you have to know as a Christian, you will quit weeping someday because he is able. I mean, he's still on the throne. Amen. And so it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, someday, okay, right now you say, oh, preacher, you don't understand. I'm in a valley. All right, well, I understand that. And Psalm 84 talks about that valley of weeping, and we all face that. But listen to me, I promise you, I guarantee this, your weeping will cease. And it may be today, and it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, but I promise you, someday it will cease. And you know why? Because he is Abel. There's no question about that. And so anyway, we're talking about the adoration of the Lamb, and he is to be adored. And that is what Lesson 16 is all about. If you need Lesson 16, raise your hand. Brother Collins will sveltely move down the aisle, and he will deliver those to you. Keep your hands up until he gets there. He is moving as fast as he can, and that is obviously a speed, which is no doubt a world record pace. But anyway, make sure you get that. And we'll not get very far into this because I have sort of paused here under the verse 5 where it says, "Weep not." And so Revelation 5:5 is our memory verse for this lesson. And so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 5:5, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Revelation 5:5. And again, Revelation 5:5. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Revelation 5:5. And I love those two words, "weep not." What an amazing thing. And so, again, as we just kind of think about, and I don't have an official review here, but I just want to, because we did skip a week, just remind you, verse 4, John said, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book," this title deed, this book that has promises, fulfillment for God's people, for us. This thing that we, this blessing of God, this promise of God to us that we messed up because we sinned, who's worthy to open that? Who's worthy to make all of the judgments and everything go into play whereby we can claim what God has provided for us? Who's worthy to open that? Who's worthy to loose those seals? And the search was made, and the search was made in heaven, and there was no angel that could do it. Search was made on earth. There's search was made in the past and the present, and it's like nobody's worthy. And thank God for verse 5, "One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not." And weep not, again, it all points to he is worthy. Roman numeral 1, he is worthy, and we get to capital A, his authority, and we're stuck here on verse 5, and we're only stuck here because Pastor got to looking all this up. And I look at all the weeping in the Bible, and I didn't do a real extensive study, but I got to looking, and we talked about Abraham wept over Sarah's body. We talked about Israel weeping over their slavery condition in Egypt. We talked about Moses weeping over Miriam's sin. Here's somebody who was concerned about someone else's sin. Joshua weeping over the defeat of Israel. Naomi weeping as she leaves Moab. Hannah weeping over being barren. And she wanted a child and she was barren and she weeps over that. Samuel weeping over the failure of Saul. And wow, what a disappointment. And, you know, I'm going to talk to our teenagers this afternoon in the teen meeting, and I'm going to talk about when leaders sin. And, you know, Samuel, what a difficult time that was for him. Now, oh, you know, he's going to be promoted. But he didn't care. He was let down. He was hurt. He was disappointed. And so he wept. David weeping over his great sin. And now, again, Samuel didn't become the king, but Samuel was a key person in all of this and everything. And so don't misunderstand that. But now, David, we come to David, Psalm 51, verse 17, and David weeping over his sin. And David is one of our examples. I remember so clearly when I first got involved in church really down in Bible college, Pastor Bob Taylor, he preached on 2 Samuel, and it got into David's sin. And it's funny because I remember as a young guy and really a pretty new Christian, even though I was in Bible college, I remember so vividly how I kept thinking, don't do it, David. Don't do it, David. I mean, David, you don't do that, David. You know, you ever find yourself kind of, as you're reading your Bible, Samson, I do that with Samson too. Samson, whoa, buddy, now you need to calm down, son. You're going to mess up here. Well, he did mess up. And David, of course, Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In Psalm 32, verse 4, the Bible says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Talking about his weeping, and certainly we ought to weep over sin. Our sin. Yes, we weep over others' sin, sure, but we ought to weep over our sin. Doesn't it break your heart when you let God down? I mean, it should break our hearts. And David, his heart is broken. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And when we don't have that joy, something's wrong, folks. We're supposed to have joy. We as Christians, we're supposed to have joy. And one of these days, that's why heaven's going to be so wonderful. It's just all joy. And for some folks, it'll be kind of a foreign territory maybe. Sad. But David weeps over his sin. Tamar weeps in 2 Samuel 13. Look at it. 2 Samuel 13. And of course, I hear people say, one of the questions I have when Pastor Taylor preached through that, and I maybe the first time I ever heard of David's sin, one of the questions that I had is David. Well, I knew David was a big shot. That's the way I looked at it back in those days as a new Christian, and I thought, so David got away with it, huh? And then I found out, wow, you don't ever get away with it. You don't ever get away with it. I don't care who you are. You never get away with it. 2 Samuel 13 and verse 19, Tamar, of course, the daughter of David, and amazing. Tamar put ashes on her head and rent, verse 19, and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. Why? Because she was raped by her half-brother Amnon, raped by him. Ravished by him, defiled by him, and she wept because her life, had been so viciously treated this way, and the Bible says that he hated her after he raped her. Now wait, before they said he loved her, and then it says he hated her. I try to tell our young ladies that a guy says he loves you, he'll respect you. If a guy says he loves you, then he'll keep his hands off of you. Amnon is the best proof of that in the scripture, I think, here's a guy who says, well, I love you, but then he gets what he wants, and now he hates her. As a pastor, I've counseled a lot of people that have been there. Tamar weeps. David weeps over the death of his rebellious son, Absalom. My son, Absalom. And of course, Amnon raping Tamar, Absalom rebelling against David. By the way, that's 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. Let's look at it. That is just a powerful verse. 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. Now, if David could have somehow looked ahead, and if he could have seen that Tamar would be raped by Amnon, if he could have seen Absalom rebelling against him, you say, do you think maybe he would have gone to battle instead of tarrying in Jerusalem and seeing Bathsheba and committing sin with her and killing her husband? I mean, do you think, folks, that's where faith comes in. Do we believe God or not? God says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You don't get away with anything, ever. And we see David's tears, 2 Samuel 18, 33. The king was much moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. And Absalom, of course, had rebelled and tried to take the kingdom from David. And David's tears seemed to be because Joab killed Absalom, more so than because Absalom rebelled against King David. But again, that's his son. His heart was broken. Won't it be wonderful when we get to heaven that we'll not have broken hearts over people anymore, because everybody will be joyful and everything will be all right all the time. Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. And again, we're just going through and looking at weeping, that there will be no more. Maybe you can plug yourself into some of these. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 20. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried to heaven. And what's that all about? It's over the threat to Jerusalem. I'll be honest with you, folks. We have a threat to America. We need to pray. I'm not talking about a military threat. I'm talking about a moral threat. And we need to pray, and we need to weep over our country. Hezekiah wept again in 2 Kings 20 and verses 1 to 5. You can just write that down, when he was sick. And he wept over that. And how much do we weep over sickness? We do it all the time. We do it all the time. I think about Brother Click over here, and he's such a dear man and a friend of ours, and we don't like to see him not well. We don't like to hear him coughing, and we don't like to know that he's suffering. And when people are sick, we weep, and it's always a tough time. Psalm 137:1, classic verse. Psalms 137 verse 1. But a powerful verse. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We wept. Why? Captivity. Why? Because we're not in the right place. Why? We're not where we're supposed to be. I've said this before, and there's no way to prove it other than experience, pastoring, the Bible, examples and that, but I think the most miserable people on the face of the earth are backslidden Christians. The way of transgressors is hard, but I think the hardest is the backslidden Christian who knows better. And, God's people in captivity. One of the saddest passages of Scripture, I believe I've preached on it before, but they're requiring, verse 3, there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They said, sing the songs of Zion, but they couldn't sing because their hearts were so broken because of their own sin. And often I wonder when I look out and I see people not singing, I see people not rejoicing. Somebody who usually gives testimonies is not giving those testimonies, and I think, I wonder what's going on. How the world looked on and said, hey, what about the songs of Zion? Sing! Sing! Our hearts are broken. You know, maybe your heart's broken today. Maybe it's hurting. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Let me remind you that captivity is the result of our sin. But he can break those chains. And he will break those chains. And we need to go to him in prayer and get it settled, get it right with him. Daniel, of course, weeping. Daniel 10, verse 2. I don't know how many years ago we went through the book of Daniel. And, it stands out how many times Daniel wept over the nation's sin. Daniel 10 and verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And as you read the book of Daniel, he's mourning, he's weeping over the sins of his nation, the sins of his people. And as you read Daniel, Nehemiah, the same thing. As you read, it's not they, it's we. It's because it's our nation. When's the last time you got before God and said, God, I'm ashamed of what our country's doing. I'm ashamed of the way we've turned against you, God. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that, this thing with Chick-fil-A and what a great victory on Wednesday. And then a group of people said, well, we'll show them, and they have their little homosexual kiss-in or whatever you want to call it. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that there would be people that would shake their fist in your face. I'm ashamed, God. That's what Daniel's saying. And he weeps over Israel's sin. Isn't it going to be wonderful that the nation of eternal heaven, there's not going to be any reason to ever be ashamed. There will be no weeping over our King, King of kings and Lord of lords. There's so much to be ashamed of today as a nation. Nehemiah weeps over Jerusalem, as I mentioned before in Nehemiah 1 and verse 4. Why? Well, because the walls are broken down. I'll be honest with you, folks. We ought to just really look around our country and the walls are broken down. We may not recognize it in our own lives, but the walls are broken down. Homes are falling apart. Lives are falling. If homes fall apart, lives will fall apart. And the walls get broken down, and the enemy comes in unstopped. That's the way it is in most countries. So many countries. You say, how did that happen? How do they have the walls get broken down. Nehemiah wept over that. Mordecai, look at it, Esther 1, or 4. Esther 4. Esther chapter 4. Mordecai, I think about Nehemiah, I think about Mordecai, I think about people that feel threatened. I think about Mordecai, the threat that he had. Do you understand that there is a threat to what we believe and what we preach and what we teach, more so in America today than there ever has been? There are people that are looking at us very, very strange, like we're the bad guy. I mean, you hear stuff, and some of it's conspiracy theory junk and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But, you hear terrorist watch list. Why are you on a terrorist watch list? Well, maybe you have a gun. We're not going to ask how many of you have guns. Maybe you have a gun. You could get on it. Maybe it's because you subscribe to some kind of a leaflet, a paper or something like that, monthly newsletter from somebody, something like that. Maybe it's because you called in to a talk show one time that's very right-wing, and I don't know. Maybe it's because you go to an independent fundamental Baptist church. You say, I'm going to go somewhere else. No, don't do that. It's that's what I say. Why? I don't know. But Esther, and what an exciting book. But Mordecai in Esther 4:1, Mordecai perceived all that was done. Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. Why? Because a policy had been set up that would have them all executed, all the people. And, do we weep? I understand. Esther wept in Esther 8, verse 3 as well, over Haman's plot. And again, over so many, again, folks, understand that there is a real threat out there against what we believe. And there's actually more than one. There's many of them. Look real quick. Job 16, verse 20. Job 16 and verse 20. Job 16, 20. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Of course, Job, going through what Job went through, all the trials, all the problems, than to have his friends, he called them miserable comforters. They come to comfort, and instead they point a finger at. By the way, don't listen to me. Be a comforter, okay? Don't you say, well, I want to help you out, but that means I have to tell you how wicked you are. No, it doesn't. You know, just be a comfort. If you're going to be a comforter, be a comforter. Amen? Amen. Job said, you know, his eyes poureth out tears. Why? Well, my friends scorn me, and he's already going through a hard enough time. Matthew 15 and verse 22. Matthew 15, 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And the mother weeps over her child. Well, how many times is that repeated day after day after day in people's lives? Weeping over a child. Weeping over your child. Oh, you know, elementary school. Oh, they did bad in this activity. They got in trouble. They got a demerit, or they got this, or they did this, or they said this, or they broke this, or, you know, whatever it is. But, boy, how many tears. In Mark 9, verse 24, a father is weeping over his son. Same thing. Same idea. A father. Here's a mother crying out, please, I need help. Here's a father crying out, please, I've got to have help. And weeping over their children. What a blessing when parents do weep over their children. As a pastor, I've known too many parents who don't. And I've always felt bad for the children. You know, children think they've got it good when mom and dad, they kind of let them do their own thing. What a sad thing. Amen? It's a sad thing. Praise the Lord for parents that weep over their children. But you know, one of these days, there will be no weeping. Weep not. Praise the Lord. A widow, Luke 7, verse 13. Luke 7. And verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him. I'm sorry, let's deal with this one first. Verse 7. Wait a minute, is that what I said? No, verse 13. This is the widow of Nain. And the Bible says, it came to pass the day after he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. When he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Much people, the city was with her. Jesus said, and there it is again, weep not. And a widow weeping over her dead son. And again, you know, what a tough thing. A son that's gone. And she's already a widow. And hard to even imagine that pain and that sorrow. That's why years ago I don't know how many years ago I've done, had the a widow's banquet at Christmas time. Wish we could do it more. Wish we could do it 4 times a year and maybe even more. But we've tried to have for years. I've had some sort of an activity for widows. I can't even, my mind can't fathom all that in going through that, a widow or a widower. But here is weeping. And I thank God for our widows. I tell them that. Can't even imagine. And I thank God for their prayers. In verse 38 then, the Bible says, stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And again, weeping taking place. The sisters, John 11, verse 33, weeping over a dead brother. You know, how many times, over and over and over, at a casket, here in the church, maybe in a funeral home, during a visitation, always, always after the service is over and I come down and stand, and there's so many tears shed. I've often wondered how many times the lid is closed and the casket has, I've looked down and seen tears on all over the deceased body and thought, you know, someday we'll not weep those tears again. One of these days, death, you know, where's thy sting? It'll be gone. There'll be no more pain. I've seen that so many times. And, of course, the Savior even, John 11, verse 35, which is our students' favorite verse to memorize when they're told they have to memorize a verse. John 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. You can memorize that verse, by the way. Tell people, I memorized the Word of God. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Well, he wept because, you know, some people say he was disappointed because they didn't have the kind of faith they should have. Some people said he wept over the fact that everybody else was weeping, you know, and certainly our Savior, no question about his compassion, no question about his love for Lazarus and the family, no question about that. He weeps over Jerusalem in Luke 19, verse 41. Luke 19, 41. And, you know, the Lord Jesus weeping. I've had men say, well, it's just not masculine to cry. Oh, you're so wrong. You are so wrong. Real men do cry. Real men weep. Amen. Paul in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And verse 19. Acts 20:19. Ushers, I need you to come if you would and go ahead and collect an offering. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Tears and temptations. The weeping of a man who is the authority, the man who is in charge, a man who is a leader, a man who is counseling people, a man who is trying to help people, tears and temptations. And verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears, Paul said. And people fail and you think, why won't they listen? And tears. But one of these days, there will be no weeping. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. I cannot tell you how many tears that a pastor sheds over his people. You cannot even imagine. The only people that can even begin to understand that is a parent, a grandparent. And that's what Paul is talking about. Affliction and anguish of heart. Boy, to see, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, those people turned against you and look at their life now, it's a mess, it serves them right. And I never feel that way. Never. It just brings weeping. I hate the result of sin. I really do. And I hope you do too. I hope we all do. 2 Timothy 1, verse 4. 2 Timothy 1, 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He talks about Timothy and Timothy's tears that he shed as a young preacher. The psalmist wept often. Just write down these references. You can look them up. Psalm 6:6, Psalm 39:12, Psalm 42:3, Psalm 80, verse 5. Psalms 116, verse 8, Psalms 126, and verse 5. And there's many other examples. Lamentation, what is a lamentation? It's weeping. And Lamentations is about crying. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Over and over and over, we see the tears of Jeremiah, and you know, the Bible is so clear. We are hurting people ever since that first sin. We are hurting people ever since our first sin. You know, the first time we sinned, it's a path dotted with tears. You ever cried so hard that you soaked a paper? You ever cried so hard you soak your Bible? You ever cry so hard you get up and you look down and there's a little spot where your tears are? Psalm 56 and verse 8. Psalm 56 and verse 8 is a precious verse to me, and I close with this. Psalm 56, 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God knows. God knows when you weep. God knows why we weep. God knows why we hurt. He knows all of those things. And he keeps track of it. One of these days, there will be no more weeping. Praise God. And so as you come to verse 5 of Revelation 5, let's not, you know, the tendency in a Revelation study is to kind of just weep not, hallelujah. But I hope it will have a little more meaning than just weep not, hallelujah. That you'll start thinking, okay, wow, I wept then. And I wept then. And I wept then. And I've had this experience. I've had that experience. And so did these people in the Bible. And they ended up rejoicing. And this happened to David. And he was able to rejoice. And yes, there was sorrow that came because whatsoever man soweth, he reaps. But he was able to end up rejoicing. And he's rejoicing now. And we will also rejoice. Heaven's not a sad place, folks. Heaven's a place of rejoicing. And though we have sorrow, and we have sorrow over many things, and especially over the death of somebody, you know, the Bible says that we sorrow not as those that have no hope. We have hope. And one of these days, and maybe there'll be a sign as we enter into heaven that says, weep not, weep not. There will be no more sorrow, pain. There will be no more result of sin. Why? Well, because there is one worthy, and he's able. And he's able to take away the sorrow and the pain. Praise God for the one who's worthy. Father, thank you for being our God, for providing a way of salvation and a way, Lord, of the power of sin not having power over us anymore. Thank you, God, for taking away the weeping and how many times you've done that in my own life. And I've had sorrow and pain and hurt, and yet you've always delivered me. Thank you that you are able. Thank you that you are worthy. And I pray that you'll help us to leave this place today knowing that we don't have to weep. And we may weep now, but joy comes in the morning. Bless each one. Bless our morning service. I pray in Jesus' name.